Welcome to This Just In, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, my 245th episode, we have a great, insightful show with a first-time guest, Jeff Becker from nThrive. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Very excited about the opportunity. Beth Friedman brought you this opportunity to me about a month or so ago. And when I saw your background, certainly your analyst background and your career journey, very excited. I've had several guests. My most fun, actually, guests in a lot of ways are people who have done research, who have a lot of just background in the industry, a lot of expertise, insights, because those are the shows that get picked up, you know, pretty well and a lot of great feedback. So very excited to kind of dive in. But before we do too far, my audience has never heard your voice before. So where'd you grow up, attend college, all that good stuff?
Yeah, sure. So had a bit of an unconventional intro to health IT. I grew up in central Massachusetts, went to high school there. I graduated in May of 2001, and the intent had been to just take a gap year. I went out west and I spent the summer in Rocky Mountain National Park. And I came home in September of 2001, and of course, like all of us, was heavily impacted by 9/11. And so my plans changed, and I pivoted. I joined the military. I joined the Army in September of 2001, and I ended up spending the next 8.5 years active duty in the military. I did it, and in my heart, I would consider myself a tech enthusiast, and so I did a very tech-heavy job. I was a satellite communications operator, and that took me all over the world, and I loved it. I loved making a meaningful difference by solving very complicated problems in high-demand environments. And so fast forward 8 years, I had children. I was ready to move on from the military, but I didn't want to move on from the nature of the job. I wanted a high-impact job. I wanted to feel like I was doing something that mattered, that was high-intensity, and that I could be giving back to my community. And so health IT felt like a natural fit for me. And I, while I was in the military, I got both my bachelor's degree and my master's degree. And so when I got out of the military, I was hired by Meditech to work on their inpatient physician products.
Wow. Very cool. Well, we have a lot in common. A, I'm from Massachusetts, as you know, Amherst, Mass originally, but I also went to the Army. I went to infantry. I was 11 Bravo and then 31 Mike after about 4 years of infantry.
Very good.
What was your MOS?
I was a 25 Sierra, satellite communications operator maintainer.
Sure. Yeah. I was, my 31 Mike, signal operator. So a little bit, on the communication side. Wow. That's very, very cool. And do you remember a gentleman named Matt McBride at Meditech by chance?
I did know Matt McBride. I sure did.
Yeah. Matt and I went to high school. We were best friends in high school and then also in college. Very cool. So, now I know where your passion for healthcare came from. That's very, very cool. So let's dive into a little bit of your analyst background and that journey. So tell us about your time at Forrester, CB Insights.
Yeah, so I left Meditech with a wealth of experience in physician workflow optimization. And then I moved into management consulting. I worked at a clinical economics practice doing physician workflow optimization. Really this was just post meaningful use. There was a lot of dissatisfaction with EHR usability in the provider space. And I, throughout my career, I really tried to just be where the action is. And at that time, we were just post meaningful use, and the place to be was clinical workflow optimization. So I spent just about 5 years working with hospitals, shoulder to shoulder with the physicians, improving usability. And I loved it. Simultaneously, I was a daily headlines writer for his talk. So I was writing at night and I was consulting during the day. And so Forrester reached out to me. They said, we have a very unique profile that we recruit for. They look for consultants with a writing background. the recruiter called it, it's like looking for a purple squirrel, because they not often found in nature. But so they reached out to me. I was very interested in the position. I had known Forrester as a lauded research firm. And so I joined as their senior analyst for healthcare technology. My coverage was enterprise health clouds, which is the industry specific offerings of AWS, Google, mm-hmm. Azure, Oracle, so on and so forth. And then I also covered RPA, AI, ML, IoT, and both revenue cycle management and clinical workflow optimization.
Excellent. Very, very cool. Do you remember Barbara Hobbs from Meditech?
I do remember Barbara Hobbs, yeah.
Love Barbara. She was my co-chair of, I was chairman of EHR Association, chair of membership. And Barbara was my co-chair for 10 years. So yeah, love Barbara. So.
Yeah. A lot of great people.
Very, very.
Still very close to a lot of them. Some of them have come and joined me at FinThrive.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So tell us, tell the audience about FinThrive. Obviously a great company. I've known them for a long time, but tell me about FinThrive and your role there.
Yeah. Well, as of today at 10 a.m., we're no longer FinThrive. We are now FinThrive. So big day for us corporate wise. It's a great place to be. I guess I alluded to it earlier. I've always sort of followed where the action is in our industry. I love health IT and digital health. I always have. When the problem of the hour was clinical EHR dissatisfaction, that's where I wanted to be. And I put myself there. And I would say today, the place to be is solving for healthcare financing. And the place to work is somewhere at the intersection of health tech and fintech. And so that's exactly what the FinThrive is building and aims to be. And so that's what drove me there. I'm there. I lead their portfolio marketing team. So I have a team of product marketers and segment marketers. And collectively, we do a lot of similar work to what you would do in an analyst role. We research the market, buyer's expectations. We inform our C-suite on what the market's looking for. It really quantify the pain points that aren't being solved with today's revenue cycle management capabilities, and help put a plan in place to fundamentally rethink the way that we're approaching this whole thing. And there's some underlying problems, I guess you could say, across the industry that are driving the action toward solving for healthcare financing. Kaiser Family Foundation just put out a report this week, actually. You'll see them come out over and over, different variations of the same story. It said 41% of U.S. adults are carrying medical debt. And if you double look into that, 25% of them are carrying over $5,000 worth of medical debt. So it's just an industry, for an industry that's so altruistic, it's just not serving. We aren't serving our patients in a way that's working for them. They are, if you're a patient and you're in your house and you start to experience symptoms of an illness or an injury, when you walk out your front door, the market has changed. It's very different than it was 20 years ago. We're not in the days of a relatively basic decision between whether you go to a sick call at your PCP's office or you go to the emergency department. There's so many care places service options in our local communities now that patients are just not able to easily identify in network versus out of network and the overall cost of seeking care. We have proliferation of retail clinics and urgent care centers, and now there's digital health options and telehealth. And so there's so many ways to get care, but there isn't a good way to navigate throughout that for patients. And it's costing patients. The insurance plans are increasingly high deductible health plans. And then if you look at the claims data and you run the analysis, like 10% of outpatient claims include out of network charges, and almost 20%, like 19% of inpatient claims include out of network charges. So it's an indicator, right? It's an indicator that there's a problem here, and it's a problem that's impacting the people that we're trying to take care of. And so it's something that I'm passionate about, FinThrive is passionate about, and it's replicated on the other side of the coin. The CFOs that are running these health systems are enduring negative margins, increased denials, a rapidly increasing use of prior authorization and other kinds of newer processes that are just increasing the cost to collect, making it harder to be financially solvent as a healthcare provider. And we don't want that. We don't want to simultaneously put our health systems in financial jeopardy and not manage the needs, financial needs, and the expectations of the patients.
No, excellent. That's very extremely insightful. And yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Let's talk about some major themes. My show focuses a lot on, you know, I always ask my guests, you know, pull out that crystal ball and let's talk about some major themes. And you obviously just covered, you know, a very big one that is looming over our industry. And again, you're spot on. But about, in addition to that, what are some of the major themes or trends that you're seeing in healthcare, digital health, you know, for the latter part of 2022 and even 2023?
Well, I mean, COVID changed everything, right? So I think that the real overarching theme is that in those early days of, say, March 2020 through October of 2020, health systems were just quickly implementing systems to provide self-service check-in, to keep the waiting rooms empty, to stand up telehealth solutions, to keep the practices delivering care. And these were all largely point solutions. So we had this influx of point solutions across the board. So today in time, if we work with a health system, we'll do an inventory, even just looking at RCM, which is our patch of the infrastructure, there tends to be about 25 to 40 bolt-on solutions enabling patient access and claims management and billing. That's a lot of vendors to manage. That's a lot of data feeds and interfaces and complexity to manage. So I would say the big overarching theme is coming out of the sort of reactionary stance that we took, that we had to take in the early COVID days, and starting to optimize the tech stack that we have in front of us today. Optimize what is our digital health strategy or telehealth strategy? What are we, what is the plan with the lack of integration and analytics available to us across all of these point solutions? So even at Forrester, that became really the primary thing that I was working on post March 2020, is helping optimize the infrastructure that had been put in place. And I think you'll continue to see that. I think you'll see vendor consolidation moves, continued optimization. And today in time, that is shifting. The first in the funnel was really patient care. And so the remote patient monitoring, telehealth, and those types of programs have really largely been solved, and now focus is shifting to some of the secondary technologies, which is why I am where I am, because that's where the excitement is right now. The merger of fintech and health tech is just such an exciting space.
Yeah, I mean, we can't ever get too far away from revenue. If we do, we're in big trouble. So,
right, and you look at the hospital closure rates over the last 2 years, and you see the impact. We lose our community hospitals, which are, they're staples of our community. They're primary employers. They're a cornerstone of the care, and so we don't want to lose our hospitals. We want to optimize the care infrastructure we have to make it work for everyone.
Yeah, I completely agree. I saw that kind of that bonanza in 2020 and 2021, even, you know, all through 2020 for sure. Adopting solutions to manage how COVID has, you know, affected transitioned care in different ways and modalities. But then 2021 was kind of a going, oh my gosh, what did I do? But then also I got to optimize what I did, because I just kind of jammed it in there. I didn't optimize it to our care strategy, the care journey, the patient journey. There's a lot of components that had to be optimized. in 2021 and even 2022. So, and now it's, well, I think a real positive effect, and I'm going to dive into the RCM here in a moment, but on the consumerism side, we have consumers that have now kind of tasted what quote unquote a consumer strategy can be for healthcare. They've used really cool platforms. They've used really bad disjointed platforms and functionalities and products, but they've tasted good probably and tasted bad. So now they're educated, they're more educated. They're going to push all providers, hopefully, to continue to offer real consumer centric experiences. They've been, you know, obviously on the Amazon side, they've been consumerized. Even on the Instagram and Facebook side, they've been, you know, consumerized in a lot of ways. They deserve that type of innovation in healthcare, consumer approach in healthcare to manage their care, not only on the care side, but as you bring up, very importantly, on the financial side. I mean, I run companies and sit on a lot of boards, and my healthcare costs are just as a company, as a you know, sitting on the board as a CEO, we're talking about 22%, 25% now. I got a budget for my employee expenses. And that's a lot. I mean, 25% used to be 17, 18, 16.
And so it continues to go out. And you'll see that play out on the employer health benefits side, where large employers are increasingly moving to self-funded options and then taking ownership of cost containment themselves. You'll see lots of some of the really compelling health tech, digital health startups. Their primary segment that they're marketing to are employers and enabling direct contracting with the local health systems and care management. So things are definitely changing rapidly, and a lot of the underlying drivers of that change is reining in surging cost of care. And to your point, I think that for the next 5 years or so, while hospital margins are still in the negative and we're still just really drowning patients in medical debt, that's going to be where the action is building people, the process and the technology to just fundamentally do this better and eroding the sort of the payer provider friction and creating what's needed to make that a more collaborative relationship so that we're all collectively working toward the same end goal.
Yeah, I love it. For those that may have joined us a little late, my special guest today is Jeff Becker with FinThrive. So let's continue on. Beth mentioned that you gave a talk recently and just went through some of, I think it was a 6-month revenue cycle technology research, something like that. So I think you presented at HIMSS 22 on that topic. Do you want to share some insights from that?
Yeah, that was a great one. So a lot of fun. We interviewed CFOs and VPs of revenue cycle management on really just transformation in the space. Our hypothesis here is that it's not the status quo of having an EHR and 30 bolt-on solutions just isn't sustainable. It's 30 right. vendors to manage. It's 30 contracts to renew. It's 30 data feeds to babysit and monitor, and it is 30 different trainings for your end users, and it's just too much. So not to mention the data silos and the downstream problems on trying to put together like a revenue cycle analytics dashboard for your board. So the research that I focused on is what is an end-to-end revenue management platform, right down into the weeds. What is must have capabilities, high value, nice to have, and not even really necessary. So we interviewed about 40 CFOs, and we just really talked through first the high value and or the point solutions, and it's all the point solutions that you'd really think. It's online scheduling, price transparency, and out of network coverage alerts, and self-service registration so that patients don't have to wait in a crowded waiting room. They can manage those tasks and automated appointment reminders and reschedule workflows just to alleviate some of the burden on that front desk staff. And then right on through. So we just took it right on through mid-cycle and back office just to really understand all of the use cases that were included in a must-have. And then we stepped back from that and we looked at what are the must-have platform features. If we were to bring all of those products into one offering, how would we tie them together? What are the platform features? And what they wanted was number one feature requirement was deep integration with our core EHRs. So when you have 25 different vendors, you have 25 different levels of integration. Some are bringing functionality embedded in the EHR. So there's lots of options to do that. The EHR vendors have all done a various degree of work on app stores where, like App Orchard, you can actually start integrating your functionality right into workflow, which is great for everyone. There's others that are doing like bi-directional HL7 or Fire interfaces. And then there's others that are doing completely dislocated or disassociated portals that you log into and you manage your workflows there. So EHR integration is really the differentiator in this space, the breadth of your offering and then how deep you can go. But beyond that, what we wanted to know is what are the outcomes that we can bring you with a platform play that we can't bring you with 25 point solutions. And it's the primary driver is vendor consolidation. Like we were talking about at the top of the hour, the breadth of vendors that have been implemented over the last 3 years is dizzying. And so now we're starting to be able to catch our breath. The financial implication of that is unsustainable. And having 25 point solutions in your revenue cycle in and of itself leads to increased denials for the health system. So these are the problems that we were trying to really pinpoint. What are the issues? It's we can solve for vendor management. The next top priority is a data analytics strategy. Break down my data silos. Give me an environment where I can really get a full picture of what's happening with the rev cycle end to end. And then workforce efficiency and productivity. The folks in rev cycle are sitting in one chair, and we call it swivel chair integration. They've got one screen here and one screen there, right, and swiveling their swivel chair, and that leads to increased denials, increased errors, increased denials. So we just dove deep on what are the capabilities that we need to bring to market? What are the problems that we're going to solve by doing so? And then what does the market look like? Who has an appetite to partner on some really transformative stuff with us? And so the adoption curve is really interesting. We looked at what would it take for you to abandon your current EHR and bolt-on strategy and move to a platform play? And the adoption curve follows like classic tech adoption curves with, we have about 19% in the early adopter bucket, another 60% or so in that middle majority bucket, and then another 19% or 20% in the laggards category. And that's a great indicator of a market that's ready to move, because that follows your classic adoption curve of other technologies perfectly. So there's a nice alignment there. If you look at like cloud migration or adoption of AIML or some of the other technologies that have come to market, you'll see a very similar adoption curve. So we're right at the front. We know where the early adopters live, kind of what characteristics they make up. And then the other cool thing that came from that is we wanted to know like what the time horizon was on when people were going to make purchasing decisions. And overall, there's 28% of the folks that we interviewed said that they would be making investments in the next 12 months. So the appetite's there, the platform is there. We're backed by ClearLake. Basically, they took this and they used it as a basis to build out the front, middle, back, end-to-end offering. We bought based on two criteria: how deep into the EHR can we integrate, and how satisfied are the end users. So we bought best-in-class products that were deeply integrated in the EHR, and then built a data layer underneath it that would solve for the analytics use cases. And today, officially, we're now FinThrive, and we go to market as the end-to-end revenue management platform that was architected to solve some of these core problems that are plaguing our industry.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I've got about 1 minute before I got to close the show. Time flies when you're having fun. So why don't you, my last segment usually is we make it actually into its own show sometimes, but where do you go to get or be inspired personally?
That's a great question. I would say my family and my community. When you work in healthcare technology, it's hard to disassociate the problems in the industry from your real life right in front of you. So we all have family members that are sick. I have my own, and you see them struggling. I have a family member who's seen at Beth Israel, a major health system in our local area. She has a rare disease. The leading doctor in that disease works at Mass General, leading research there, and the systems don't integrate. She can't go back and forth from her primary to the specialist, and it's just such an old problem, and it's still right here present in my life. So I look at my family, I see the problems that they're struggling with that land in the world that I innovate in, and that's where I get my passion from.
I love it. I couldn't agree more. I mentioned, when we're getting on air that I have a 97.5-year-old grandmother in Massachusetts, and I see how I have to help manage care and just my background in health IT and digital health to try to help her. But it's so disjointed. It's so expensive. It doesn't need to be that expensive. It's just, it's way out of control. But I couldn't agree more. And I appreciate you, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining me and my audience today, my friend.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, Justin. I really enjoyed it as well.
You got it. And I'm sure we'll do it again at some point. But I truly appreciate everybody taking the time out of their schedules to listen to us. And thank you. You can always catch us daily at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. Also, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustinRadio so you can respond to your comments from the show. If you miss any of this episode or want to hear more, all my shows are posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Also, you can check out the website content that we just updated on justinbarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Stay safe.